Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having an absolutely terrific day today. I just checked the weather down here in Florida, and it is 93 degrees and feels like 102. So welcome to fall in Florida. Very exciting times we live in down here in this state. And how are you doing up there, Dad, in the old North Carolina?
70 degrees, 100% humidity. It is raining. It's not one of these North Carolina toad stranglers, but it's a constant rain, which is kind of nice. It's actually nice and cool up here for the last week, which has been a real blessing. By the way, Alec Baldwin, the one who loves to start fights and sit around drunk and berate his children, and basically hates the government of the United States and hates Donald Trump and hates everything conservative his entire liberal life, is now saying, quote, "We need to overthrow the government of the United States of America." I mean, this is crazy. I wonder if the lying mainstream media will call Alec Baldwin what he is, an anti-government, communist, jihadist, terrorist, as far as I'm concerned. That's due to true patriots, because we want an honest government. Alec Baldwin recently said that we should overthrow the government, the United States government, in an orderly and formal way and a lawful way. We need to overthrow the government of the United States under Donald Trump. Baldwin said Sunday night at a major fundraising dinner for New Hampshire Democratic Party, less than 24 hours after reprising his Emmy award-winning parody of President Trump on Saturday Night Live. Alec Baldwin took aim again at the president, reported Fox News. Baldwin also said that his role as Trump on SNL was supposed to last as long as it wasn't supposed to last as long as it has. Just three shows, he said, and Baldwin recalled a moment of the past when SNL producer Lorne Michaels tried to convince the actor to portray then-candidate Donald Trump. Guys, this is nuts. You know, we've got these Hollywood leftists. You know, when McCarthy came in back in the 50s, and he actually pointed these guys out for being hardcore Marxists and leftists, he was absolutely 100% right. And the sad part about it, he was eviscerated. He ended up dying shortly thereafter. They basically drove him nuts. I mean, it was unbelievable what they did to him, Austin, when he actually called them out as a United States senator. By the way, this is another article that was on Steve's Quayle website today. Israel warns that full-scale war with Gaza is inevitable as Israeli security cabinet mulls a massive strike against Hamas. You know what's funny to me with all of this, Austin? Hamas isn't over there bombing and strafing their families and children and putting missiles into them, like Israel is doing into Gaza. And it's absolutely ironic to me that they say to these countries around them, if you continue to defend yourself, we're going to continue to bomb you even more. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I personally, and I've told you guys before, you guys all know this, I am not a Zionist. Wasn't raised that way. I was raised as a Lutheran. Wasn't part of the Southern Baptist Zionism thing going on all over the United States right now, and all of classes, not just Southern Baptists. I don't want to pick on just Southern Baptists. It has to do with a lot of other people all over the country and what they do and how they basically, you know, view the nation of Israel. And here's the thing. I'm going to say this, and I hate starting off a show like this, but I'm just going to say it. If I've got snipers and they're working for me, and I'm their colonel or their major or their general or whatever, and I tell them to watch the border fence and don't let anybody get near the border fence. If these people start sniping people 500, 600, 700 yards away for sport, they're going to be court-martialed. They're going to be spending the rest of their life in jail. I mean, you can't do stuff like that in any other country in the world except for these groups of people who are involved with the Israeli special forces and how they treat other people, and then laugh about the fact they were able to shoot a child out of their mother's arm at 1,000 yards. I mean, I just have a real problem with any of that stuff. And I, quite frankly, we can't be letting any country in the world, whether it's the United States, because I've been equally as critical about what we've done in Syria, what we've done in Iraq, what we've done in Lebanon, what we've done in, you know, Egypt, what we've done, just pick a country, what we've done in Grenada or Panama or any place with our CIA and overthrowing all of these different governments and basically interfering with their national elections. I've been just as critical about the United States. I've been just as critical about Germany and what they've done with this massive immigration thing, destroying the population of Germany, what the British have done, French have done, all of them. Guys, we can't just take any country and give them a pass because they're supposed to be talked about in the Scofield Bible, or any Bible, it doesn't make any difference, or any Old Testament scripture. We've got to call it out, Austin, because our Bible, the Bible of Yeshua, it basically tells us that we're to love one another, and we're to serve one another, and we're supposed to be, you know, care for one another, and we're supposed to turn the other cheek. Now, does that mean that we're supposed to go out and be completely eviscerated and taught and to be treated badly? Absolutely not. But what it doesn't mean, we don't have the right to just go out and start shooting and killing people for fun or for sport, or killing millions of people in the Middle East because we thought it was something we needed to do. That's not okay. That's not what the Christians are for. In fact, Ann, I talked to Ann today. I had a pleasure speaking to Ann today. She's up here close to me, North Carolina. And she goes talking about what's going on. She went and asked the question she wanted to ask me. And she goes, I'm requesting and I'm sending my thought suggestion about a Brower Brigade prayer team. She said that we need to have prayer warriors all over the country. She goes, my thought was backed up by the following verse, Genesis 11:6. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. That's out of the Tower of Babel. Of course, it's the story of the Tower of Babel, and these people were meant for evil. But I've heard the same sermon preached the same way, that if the body of Christ prayer unites in prayer and God's will, then nothing is impossible, for God himself says so. Now, that's something I believe Ann's absolutely right on. Here's what she said. We need to pray for some of the election stuff, and I think this is really good. She goes, here's what she said. So I was thinking perhaps other listeners would feel like I do and be willing to pray for specific items each week if we had, you know, basically some information coming from you from the show. And here's what it is. As far as the election, that only God's selections will win, that God's will be done, that the ballot integrity will be maintained, that God is to remove the veil of deception and reveal the truth to individuals. This could be worldwide, not just the United States. And that God's protection from evil will be there for our children. Also, we need to heal the survivors of satanic ritual abuse, childhood abuse, which is very, very prevalent, by the way, in today's society. Talked to Rush Dizdar about that. And we need to expose the truth to the general population, which we're continuing to do, and to the children. And we need to expose and have justice for the evil politicians, the clergy, etc. And that's not just the Catholic Church. That's, you know, all churches in general. When you call yourself a Christian or you call yourself a pastor, you're simply held to a higher level of accountability. So, Ann, I want to thank you so much for sending me that email, and you're absolutely right. And we'll start coordinating that if we can, Austin. Every week we're going to have a specific prayer. We'll probably start that tomorrow as far as for this week. In fact, we'll start that right now. Let's pray right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Everybody pray with me that only God's selections will win nationwide on this vote that's coming up next month. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray that only your selections, the selections that have integrity, the selections, Father, that basically are lined up with your word, the selections, Father, that love you and Yeshua, will win these seats and these offices, Father. I thank you, Father. It's in Jesus' name I pray, and I want everybody to pray that this week when you get a chance, or pray with me and continue to pray that throughout the week. Austin, what are you thinking? What's your next story?
Yeah, there's definitely absolute strength in prayer. And the thing is that I think a lot of people are getting out and voting this midterm more than ever because of what they see the leftist communists have been trying to do and overthrow the United States. Because as we've seen throughout the entire world, this is always a lopsided, one-sided arrangement where you have one side who basically expects they can take and steal and rob and kill from the other and do it with impunity, essentially. I mean, we've seen that all over the world. And that's pretty much the communist mantra of what they're trying to do here in the United States now. So, I mean, it's highly, highly important that we really do the best we can to maintain a constitutional republic in this country and don't allow ourselves to go down to the level, essentially, of a dictatorship or mob rule, which is pretty much where the communists and the leftists and the Democrats are trying to push us to the point where it doesn't matter what you say, it doesn't matter what you talk about, if the mob of 51% agrees that you're wrong, they essentially have the right to kill you, which is mob rule. This is exactly where this is starting to go now in this country, and that is exactly why we cannot allow these guys to get into office. It was interesting, earlier today I had the distinct privilege of talking to the owner of Toby's Beef, which he came over to the office today and actually hung out with me for an hour here. We just kind of chit-chatted on a lot of stuff. His name is Jaku, which he's from South Africa. His whole family's actually from South Africa. And so we were talking about just the different process that they do as far as with the beef jerky with the New Zealand. It's actually, excuse me, I found that today it's not actually called jerky, because it's not jerky the way they make it or the way they smoke it. It's actually called biltong, which is 400 years ago they started doing that in South Africa. And it's not a smoked meat like the beef jerky is. Essentially what they do is they take the finest cuts of New Zealand grass-fed beef, marinate them in brine made with black pepper, sea salt, roasted corn oil, vinegar, and cure it and then dry it in a controlled cool air environment for about 20 days, and it gives the beef biltong a soft, medium rare texture and a delicious spice aroma. That's why if you've ever gotten that from us, you notice it's not like real hard, tough smoked jerky, because it's technically not jerky. That's the way he's kind of had to present it over the last couple years in this country, because nobody knows what biltong is. I didn't until today, which I thought was interesting. But that's that product. But so I asked him today, I asked Jocko today, I said, I know your whole family was from South Africa. You guys basically came over here years ago. And I said, is it true, really, what we're hearing and what we're seeing over there? And he goes, Austin, he goes, you can't even imagine how much worse it is over there. He goes, the last time we were over there, we basically had to get a hot extract with a helicopter that my dad basically paid for. And we ended up being on the rooftop of our house with a hot extract leaving the country to go to another African country to basically cool down and then migrate into the United States. He goes, we had property and farm in Zimbabwe and South Africa, and they were completely overrun and burned down and taken over. And I said, well, what is going on with this whole aspect? He said, the issue is, he goes, the South African president is so beyond corrupt. And he said, they've brainwashed a huge percentage of the population and the entire military down there to believe that essentially anybody that's white is basically a colonialist from the 17, 1800s that's trying to steal more stuff from them. He goes, it doesn't matter if we had nothing to do with any of this. It doesn't matter if we're producing thousands of acres worth of food every single year for everybody. It doesn't matter that. They see us with a different skin color, and they're basically told that it's ours. They can't have it. We can have it. And he goes, the sad part about it is, he goes, it's not just them going in and taking the land and basically coming in and, land reform. He goes, that's what they're putting as a media cover. He goes, these guys are barbaric. He goes, absolutely to the furthest degree. He goes, they'll come into your house in the middle of the night. And he goes, you have burglar bars on the entire outside of the house. You have multiple layers on burglar bars of every room inside the house to try to keep these guys out if they break in the middle of the night. And he goes, what they'll do on these big farms is they'll come in and raid it in the middle of the night. They'll beat the father half to death. They'll tie him up and make him basically watch his entire family get raped in front of him. This is what the South African military does right now when they take these farms. And then after that, they'll basically either murder the whole family, or they'll take the kids and take them into sex trafficking. And then they'll usually throw like a tire over the father's head and light it on fire and let him burn to death basically with melting rubber and melting tire if they hadn't already dismembered him basically to death. He goes, that's what they do over there. That's how they handle everybody, because they want your land and they want your stuff. And it's not good enough they can just keep your stuff and kill you. They basically have to butcher you before you die. And he goes, it's absolutely horrific. And he goes, it's getting worse and worse and worse down there. And he goes, now with this president doing this full-blown land grab, he goes, it's literally going to turn into a giant mess. He goes, because the next 10 or 15 years, nobody's going to have any food to do anything down there, and they're all going to be starving to death, and then they're going to blame it on everybody else that they're starving to death. And he goes, it's really, really sad. And he goes, and we take for granted what we have here in the United States. He goes, you know, we have pockets of crime and so forth all over the U.S., he said, but the level of barbarism that you see in South Africa right now would literally shock your mind on what's going on. And he said, it's absolutely real, 100 times realer than what you can even possibly imagine. And the media has done pretty much a full blackout on it, because they don't want to talk about it, because it's better to talk about Israel needs to defend itself from Gaza and Syria, even though Syria's not even doing anything, and keep that whole rhetoric going, than actually talk about the atrocities that are happening down in South Africa right now. now. So I want to just kind of bring that to your attention from somebody that lived in South Africa for half of his life and has come back over here now in the United States. And that's why, again, you know, I love his product. He makes absolutely one of the best beef products I've ever had as far as the taste of it. And he's right here in Dade City in Florida. That's also why I like using because he's local. And it was definitely a pleasure to see him today. But I just want to kind of bring that in there because we talked about South Africa yesterday, and I want to kind of give you a firsthand experience of something that somebody's involved in down there. And one day we may have to get him on the show and basically explain how they do the beef a little bit better so you guys can give it a try one of these days. But I just want to kind of touch base on that first thing, Deb.
Well, my best to Toby. I'm glad he's out of that mess. Let's stop for a second. I'm gonna hopefully I don't step on any toes here, but I just got to be straight with everybody. What happened with South Africa? South Africa was 30, 40 years ago one of the top three or four countries in the world to live in. It was ranked up there with Switzerland, Great Britain, America, Germany. I mean, it was one of the top. It was one of the wealthiest countries in the world because of all the natural resources and diamonds, etc. And then what happened with South Africa is that the colonial times, you know, it really never left the top. They called it apartheid, in which the ruling class owned everything. And the ruling class were primarily the white people. Now, I'm going to make some people mad, but I'm going to tell you some things that I've been told by people who've left South Africa. 30, 40 years ago, before this apartheid was broken up and pulled apart, the South Africans had some of the highest medical care in the world, some of the best education. Now, I'm talking about both black and white. And what had happened, Austin, is, you know, the vast majority of the population, probably 80% was black, 20% was white, but the whites were the people that were the more educated folks. They knew how to run farms. They knew how to, you know, run offices and governments, and they knew how to deal with, you know, housing structures and, you know, and roads and maintenance and bridges and all that kind of stuff. And they had areas of just complete opulence inside of Johannesburg and also inside of Cape Town, where basically the English had been there for hundreds of years and had these beautiful, beautiful homes. In fact, the homes are still there, just most of them are in disrepair now. And what happened is they started getting really pressured by the world community. Now, think about this for a second. What South Africa did is the same thing that the Israelis are doing to the Palestinians, period. There's just no if, ands, or but about that. The problem was the shift. Remember, when Mandela was in jail down there, Mandela was a communist, hardcore communist. And when they let Mandela out and, you know, and the apartheid broke down, the problem was is that they didn't have a lot of educated people who were black who could take over the reins of the whites. This goes right back to what happened in Germany after World War II, when basically Patton was severely criticized because he put the Nazis back in charge. They'd been in charge of the railways and the power stations and the water treatment centers and all that. He put them back in charge. And they said, why in the world are you putting these Nazis back in charge? And he goes, well, we have to get the infrastructure back in place. We can't allow this country basically starve to death, not have any water or not have any transportation or not have any trains running. If you bring me people that aren't Nazis who can run this stuff for me, I'll use them. But otherwise, I'm going to keep everything running here, and I'm going to just keep using the same people that have been running it for the past 50 years. This is the transition that should have been made in South Africa. The problem is when all of the people that basically were there had heard from Mandela, I'm talking now about the minorities, and they found out that basically the entire thing was starting to fall and they were going to be given the right to vote because they had 80% of the population. They just voted any reform they wanted to, including taking away the farmers' land, including our buddy there having had a helicopter extraction off the roof of his house. I mean, this is what happens when you have mob rule. A pure socialist dictatorship is mob rule. If you have 51% of the people going against 49% of the people, and the 51% say hang them, the 49 get hung. This is what you run into. This is what happens when you're under a colonial power like it was in South Africa, and it was a crown colony, and they don't have the ability to make the transition to a true free republic. This has pretty much happened in every African country. Now Libya, it had a really good program going in Libya, very high standard of living because of all the oil that Gaddafi had, but that wasn't good enough for Hillary. Hillary had to take him out. Now, you know, Libya's turned into another African hellhole. You know, Austin, you know, you've been to Egypt. You saw what it was like in Egypt, how bad it was. And that's before we basically overthrew the government in Egypt. It's much worse there now. See, the problem is this. you can't take a people or a culture that's been in a certain type of framework, a mental framework for hundreds of years, and pull the plug on the framework and not allow the people who know how to run the country or to run the system to continue to do it. And this is what happened in South Africa. When you start putting the communists in charge of everything, everything fell apart. Now, to get me wrong, I don't like apartheid at all. And I believe the blacks should have had the right to vote. But they should have had the right to vote 100 years ago. You know, when we had to do the women's suffrage thing, it was ridiculous that women couldn't vote in our country 100 years ago. All that was changed. But the problem is it needs to be an orderly transition. It can't be out of order. Because what ends up happening is when you allow it to go out of order, Austin, it becomes a major, major problem for everybody around because you just have chaos and anarchy. And that's what we have in South Africa. Years ago, Sharon and I were blessed enough, gosh, it's 20 years ago now, to go, it wasn't that far along, about 15 years ago, we went on a safari in Kenya. Let me tell you guys a story. And we went with a company called Mikato, and their prices have gone so high now, we didn't go back with them, but they were reasonably priced back then. And we went to Kenya. But before we went to Kenya, I had a friend of mine, his name was Charles, he's dead now, but he rests in peace, Charles Harris out of California, him and Kathleen. I met them on a cruise ship years earlier. They wanted to go with us on this flight to Kenya. And then they said, well, we don't want to go to Kenya, we want to go to South Africa and go to the game parks. And I said, guys, I said, you don't really want to do that. South Africa is not what you think it is now. And I said, and plus you don't want to go into a third world country, which it's turning into, and not have a tour group lead you through, because there may not be road signs. The roads may be in disrepair. You may have gangs, etc. And I sent him some articles even back then. Johannesburg had gotten so dangerous, Austin, that if you left in a rental car in Johannesburg, you literally had to bring bodyguards with you. This is how bad it's been over there, or you would be abducted and ransomed. It got to the point where they were actually installing flamethrowers under people's cars who lived there. So if somebody tried to carjack the car, they'd hit a switch and throw a big flame out the side of the car to get the people to leave you alone and not try to come into your car. That sounds like living in hell to me. And I told my friends, I said, you know, and Gene Dawes, he wanted to go with us too. And finally, about a week before we were supposed to fly and go out there, we started realizing that we couldn't get this thing scheduled. We couldn't get it done right. We couldn't try to do it. And Charles wanted to fly down there and basically schedule everything while we were there. And I said, I'm not going to do that. I want to be met at the airport and picked up. I don't even want to go to South Africa. I'd rather go to Kenya. Well, what ends up happening is they left and I didn't go. I just didn't go. And we had airline tickets to fly there for free, which was nice. And I waited. They were going to be there for 3 weeks. And after the third week, Gene called me up because he went with them. It was Charles, Kathleen, and Gene. And he goes, Ted, man, this is a nightmare. He says, I'm coming home early. He goes, there are no street signs. Everybody hates Americans. Everybody hates white people. He goes, this is horrible. And he goes, I don't want to be here. And he says, I'm leaving early because I can't do this. It's too dangerous. He said, the sheets in the hotel rooms are dirty and they're dusty. This is a nasty place. Now, this is one of the top countries in the world, you know, 30 years ago. And so what happened is I went ahead and rebooked my thing with Mikato to Kenya while they were still there. They came back early and we had the most wonderful time because Kenya is a wonderful, wonderful country. Very, very high unemployment rate there, but the people there are so nice. And we had been warned by our State Department not to go when we scheduled the trip because they said that it wasn't safe because our embassy had been attempted to be bombed. And we went anyhow, had an absolutely wonderful time. And it was a blast, but we avoided South Africa. Now, if you know a local, like, you know, Rodney Howard Brown, Pastor Rodney Howard Brown, who's a friend of mine, he's a South African. And now if I was going to go to South Africa, I would go with him because he would know what to do and where not to go and how not to get in trouble. Guys, I've been to enough countries around the world. When you get into certain countries, and if you don't know the culture and what's going on there, you could get yourself into serious, serious problems. I mean, instantaneously. But it depends on what they're going to do. If they're running around with AK-47s, they're not going to try to reason with you. They're going to shoot you. Remember last year I was at Harrison wanted to go over to Mykonos. It's an island in the Greece. And we flew over there. You know, while we were in Athens, we took a hopper plane, 20, 30-minute flight. And I remember we were walking in this island, and there was an old church. And the old church had basically a rope outside to pull the bell. And I think I've told you the story. I'm going to tell you again. And what happened is I thought, Sharon says to me, you know, we're walking around. Sharon goes, oh, let's pull the bell. Let's see if we can, you know, let's see how it sounds. And there was nobody around. So I pulled the bell like ding, ding. I thought, oh, that's really nice. Also, some guy comes out of one of the stores screaming and yelling at me, pitching an unbelievable fit, saying, why did you pull the bell? Why did you pull the bell? And I'm like, because there's a rope and it doesn't say don't pull the bell. And he goes, that's not for, you can't do that. That's a fire alarm. to be used for funerals and to be used for weddings. Now, Austin, how was I supposed to know that? And this guy went berserk. This guy was going nuts on me. He was about probably 10 years younger than me. And I looked at him. I said, dude, I said, you know, your mouth is writing paychecks. Your body can't cash. I said, I about had enough of you, because he spoke perfect English. And I said, I'm not going to listen to it. I said, I am done with this. I said, you're not going to keep screaming and yelling and cussing at me. I said, I'm done. I'm sorry I rang the bell. Now, that was in Mykonos in Greece. All right. What if I had done something like that in Tanzania or South Africa or Zimbabwe or Somalia, okay? And all of a sudden it was like one of those things, oh, you deserve to be death now. Now they take me outside, they dismember me. Guys, you gotta be really careful. I'm giving you a warning now. When you start going to third world countries, and I've been to a plethora of them, you gotta make sure you know who you're going with, what you're doing when you're there, and you need to get an escort as far as somebody who's gonna take you around like a guide to make sure that you don't get in trouble or that you don't ring the bell. Austin, what do you think? What's your next story?
That is great info. No, there's definitely no question about it. You definitely need to be aware of what's going on all the time, especially when you travel outside of the country. Also, in other news, as you guys know, I talked about yesterday the dangers, in my opinion, the reasons why to stay away from these personal home devices with smart cameras and smart microphones and all the other shady stuff now. Well, because these things are becoming so popular, as sad as that is for me to believe, that so many people are willingly putting them in their house. As you guys know, yesterday I talked about the Google Nest that is now basically the first time has been used by law enforcement to subpoena audio and video footage of an incident so they can basically use it. And they've hundreds of times now they've done this, and they can get it immediately. I don't even think they need a search warrant anymore now because of the terms and conditions from these devices like Alexa and so forth. Well, apparently, the little devices that you put in your home are not good enough now to monitor everything. They want more. Amazon now has been reported that they are working on a versatile full robot that's equipped with all the latest technologies. It's becoming a trend in the tech market these days. They said the robot is to be a secret weapon against its rivals in the smart device manufacturing industry. The robot is designed for full home use as an advanced house manager that is able to connect all sorts of smart devices and other technologies. The robot would be capable of establishing connections with your smart home, your cloud service, the Internet of Things, artificial intelligence, smart voice, big data analysis, and the full 5G network, so it could carry out the functions like security surveillance, information, entertainment streaming, and monitoring anything you need, as well as home health care. That's crazy. That's what they're doing now. The crazy thing about this is that the e-commerce giant, if this is released, this home robot literally will take the place of anything and everything in your house if you allow it to do so. If you build a new smart home, it will integrate everything into it, and you can operate your entire house from this one robot. Again, I can't tell you how many ways this is going wrong, considering the fact of the surveillance spy state that we have seen grow to the utmost proportion over the last 10 to 15 years with the NSA and everything else. And we know that already Amazon has a very long-term contract with the CIA, housing the CIA surveillance server. So ironically enough, Amazon building something on this level doesn't surprise anybody at all. But this, again, guys, not only are people putting these in their house willingly, they're paying to put them in your house. Stay away from this stuff. It's not that hard to walk over to the thermostat and change it from 78 to 76. It takes two clicks, two down arrows, 1, 2, to 76. You don't have to have everything in your house tied into the Internet of Things smart system so you can literally think it and it's going to change, which is exactly where this is going, by the way, guys. The next step that they've talked about is either headgear or microchipping that'll be tied into these robotic systems, into the Internet of Things, so you literally can either do gestures or even think things, and the robotic AI system in your house will be able to do them. So you think, I want it to be 72 in here. Your thermostat goes down to 72. You think you want the TV on or to change channels, it'll do that for you. Think I'm crazy? Look it up. It's coming. It's coming very, very quickly. The easiest way to stay away from this stuff is just keep it out of your house, Deb.
You know, Austin, to me that stuff sounds really cool. I mean, it really does. It's like, I remember I watched a TV cartoon when I was a kid called The Jetsons, and they had flying cars, and they had a little robot that ran around the house. I think I forgot what it was named, Rosa or whatever. And they basically could go, you know, the car would fold up into a briefcase, and then the guy would walk. I mean, it was unbelievable. All these little neat little tricks they had. They kind of lived in a floating house, and I thought, wow, how cool all this is. And you know, it is cool. And I really wish I could walk into a house and the house would talk to me and it would basically tell me what I needed to do as far as what I needed to fix or correct or anything else wrong with it. I'd like that personally.
Yep.
The problem is the loss of privacy. The problem is the information that you give this Internet of Things is going to be on a worldwide web for everybody to hack, for everybody to know what you're doing. And then you're going to be just besieged with Internet marketing companies contacting you because you thought the thermostat was too high. I mean, this is the problem with all of this. I mean, this is technology run amok is what this is. This is technology that we simply don't need. Though it sounds pretty cool, it would be fun. And if we didn't have to worry about the Internet of Things hacking into our entire life and stealing our information, okay, it might be all right, but guys, it's one of those things I agree with Austin. This is all part of the control grid they're putting up around us to enslave us. So, yeah, you better stick with Mayberry and Andrea Griffith and, you know, and Opie and just forget about it. I spoke to another lady today and she told me, she goes, well, I said, can you text me on this number? She goes, oh, I don't have a cell phone. I've had it with cell phones. I'm done with cell phones. I have a hardwire phone. I thought, well done, well done. She goes, yeah, you guys have let me know this thing is not something I want in my house. And she's right. But the technology is really, really convenient. And it's just a shame, Austin, that they've used it. See what happened is the Internet was originally designed to spy on us. It was basically a control grid is what it was. It was another DARPA thing is what it was. And again, it's ancient, it's alien, fallen DNA, 1947 Roswell technology, back engineered. All of this stuff is. The problem with it is that the control grid that they set up for us to ensnare us turned into the Gutenberg press, and the World Wide Web became the first chance we had in over 100 years of having freedom of speech as far as internationally. That's why so many people are getting more and more and more awake, and more people are beginning to realize that, hey, you know, I don't want to have this Internet of Things in my home and allowing it to do it. I'll use it as a tool like we're doing with the show right now, but as far as going in and allowing it to control our lives, absolutely not. Here's an interesting article that just came in from Need to Know You News with G. Edward Griffin. Israeli court imposes a $12,000 fine on a New Zealand activist who convinced singer Lorde to cancel her show. Now, I'm going to read this to you because it's going to blow your mind. An Israeli court awarded damages of $12,000 U.S., dollars to plaintiffs in a lawsuit against a pair of New Zealand activists who wrote an open letter asking the singer Lorde, I've never heard of this Lorde by the way, L-O-R-D-E, to cancel her concert in Israel as evidence of support for the BDS boycott, divestiture, and sanctions campaign against the Jewish state for its occupation of Palestine. Israeli lawyers said that the ruling makes it clear that anyone who calls for a boycott, this, by the way, is called tortious interference, against the state of Israel could find themselves liable for damages and will be forced to pay compensation to those hurt by the boycott call. The law firm will try to enforce this ruling in New Zealand and go after the activist's bank accounts and get withdraw the money until full damages have been paid. Legal experts doubt the enforcement could be possible in another country because Israel is not one of the countries listed in New Zealand's Reciprocal Enforcement Judgments Act. Now, think through this for a second, guys. We've got a country that's openly involved in apartheid. We have, you know, what do you want to call it? The basically the slaughter of Palestinians, the wholesale discrimination against Palestinians, and somebody says something about it, and they get sued. See, this is the problem. Here's the problem with these lawsuits, guys. And I've been in them, and what I do, as soon as I get in them, I just drop the hammer and go hardcore as far as I can because you have to do that to make them all stop. What happens is, let's say, for instance, Joe Smo sues, you know, Hillary Clinton or whatever, or anybody. Let's pick Joe Smo sues a high school girlfriend who said no to him at a date. Okay? Well, it's a joke suit. It's a nuisance suit. If the judge has any sense, he won't even hear it. But in the event that it gets heard or it gets put on the docket, you know, this person who's being sued has to defend himself. And if they don't show up, they're automatically the person who's the accuser wins an award judgment, and they can actually go after this person legally and start taking things out of their bank accounts. And so the problem with all of this is that we need, like they have in Europe, we need tort reform. In other words, let's say if Joe Smo gets sued by, or sues Lucy, right? All of a sudden Lucy has to spend $10,000 in legal fees. and she wins, and Joe Schmo goes, oh, ha, 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 look what I did to you. In Europe, Lucy, Joe Schmo was required to pay Lucy's attorney's fees. This is the biggest problem that we have right now in the Austin, in the United States, with these slip and fall attorneys. They can sue somebody. If they lose, they're just out their own money out of their own pockets. They don't have to pay the other person's attorney fees. And this is very, very important that people understand this. This is one of the biggest reasons you see to stay out of lawsuits. That's why the Bible says, you know, don't do it. Better to be wrong than it is go to court in front of the unbeliever. And now there's a certain point when you can't do that. If it's going to be costing your home or whatever, you got to defend yourself. But the reality is this, guys, lawsuits are just a pain in the butt. Nothing positive ever comes out of it. And so what this is, on these people out of New Zealand, this is a nuisance suit, is what this is. This is a suit to try to scare people globally around the world not to say we should boycott Israel or do things against Israel or whatever, regardless of what Israel does. It's basically based on tortious interference. And the thing that's sad to me, Austin, about this is that this is going on all the time. All the time, all the time, all the time, all the time. And it's sad because it's not just, you know, the fact that it's being done. It's the fact that it's being done, and they're pushing more and more and more people to have it done, too. This is just this is absolutely crazy. Here's another one. UK passengers on a plane now have prevented the Somalia man, who is a convicted gang rapist, from being deported. Unbelievable. A flight from Heathrow Airport to London to Turkey was stopped by passengers to prevent the deportation of Yaqub Ahmed, 29, a Somalia native with an IQ of probably 59, who had served 4 years in a UK prison after being convicted of a gang raping a 16-year-old girl in 2007. The unwitting passengers, who were not aware of Ahib's rape crime, of course they weren't, chanted, take him off the plane, take him off the plane. And one traveler complained, they're separating him from his family. Ahmed is now believed to be in an immigration detention center while officials try to place him on another flight out of the UK. Guys, again, this is just pure stupidity run amok. They don't know why he's being taken out. They have no idea why he's being taken, but they're trying to stop him from being taken out. And when I see stuff like this, Austin, it really, really grieves me, because the sad part about all of this is that, you know, they need to learn to be educated before they run their mouth. Here's another one. Georgia. Gubernatorial candidate Stacey Adams encourages voter fraud by saying illegal aliens will be part of the blue wave during elections. This is a candidate for governor for the state of Georgia, Austin, and she said she let it slip last week that the blue wave of Democrat voters predicted by some to sweep the midterms includes undocumented immigrants, thus implying that illegal aliens are welcome to cast their vote in the upcoming elections in Georgia. She said the thing of it is the blue wave is African American, it's white, it's Latino, it's Asian, Pacific Islander, it's disabled, it's differently labeled, it's LGBTQ, it's law enforcement, it's veterans. That's what she's saying. It is made up of those who have been told that they are not worthy of being here. It's comprised of those who are documented and undocumented. This, again, is the straight communist mantra of conquer and divide and conquer. That's what this is. She lists all these different groups now. She's pitting them against all of the Republicans, all the people that are going to vote, you know, pro-life, pro-libertarian, pro-Republican. Why? Because she wants to. And she wants to get all these people involved with her little crusade now, Austin, to try to make herself governor. It's absolutely crazy to me. But I tell you what, though, it has worked over and over and over again in this country. And that's why there's so many socialist candidates on the ballot and so many socialist communist candidates and people who've been elected in Washington, D.C., and in the state legislature. So, guys, be aware what these guys do, and simply don't allow yourself to participate and tell your friends, this is not okay, we're not going to do this. What do you think, son?
Well, yeah, that's very well said, because I ran into a buddy last night, and I was talking to him about the same thing, and he's like, why do I feel like we have so many of these socialists on the ballot this year? And I said, well, they're really just soft communist is where it's headed. I said, the reason why they're doing this is exactly what you just explained, Dad, is that once they keep the social welfare state running long enough, people start realizing that essentially you can vote yourself representatives that are going to keep paying and paying and paying for everything you do, anything you want, everything you want. They're pretty much just going to subsidize it. And this is that socialist agenda that they're running off of, except it really isn't socialist anymore. It's really tying back into that full communist agenda, because if they really get into office and they start doing this, they're going to decimate this country. It's going to be like every other third world country now that was originally a communist country. Every single one. Every single country has always followed the same route when it starts going down the level of communism. And what's ironic to me is a lot of these guys are so stupid, they're so uneducated, that they just, I guess, simply don't realize it. I guess because they think they're going to be a state worker, government worker, they're going to continue to get their money paid, and that's the irony of it, because they don't care what happens to anybody else. You know, the government employs a vast, vast portion of the United States, and it's so large now that they figure, well, as long as I keep my check coming, as long as I get paid as governor, as long as I get paid as state representative, I don't care. I just keep making my money. I'll keep promising everybody their entitlements. I'll keep taking more money away from people that are working 40, 50, 60 hours a week, running their own companies, and I'll just liquidate their stuff and take their stuff and continue to give it to people to keep us voted in office. It's what we've seen in Chicago. It's what we've seen in Detroit. It's what we've seen through a large portion of California. It's what we've seen in numerous states now, and it's repetitive, and it's getting worse. And as you said, that's why we're seeing so many socialist agenda communists,
that's right,
on the ballot this year. So because so many people are actually supporting this agenda now, which boggles my mind. But we really, really, really have awakened the sleeping giant, especially not even just the Republican aspect, but just the constitutional patriot ideology that this country was founded on. There's still so many of us that a lot of people are waking up now, because you got to remember, a lot of people vote in the regular every 4-year term, you know, the presidential election. Almost everybody votes in that. Well, not almost everybody. Large portion of it, I should say it that way. But a lot of people don't vote in midterms. They just don't vote. It's just not that big of a deal. But now I think a lot of the people that normally don't vote or really don't care are seeing the way these guys are trying to take this. I mean, for instance, we have Gillum over here in Florida that's trying to run for governor. The guy's an absolute nightmare. I mean, he literally wants to turn Florida into an East Coast California. Every single agenda that he has on the docket that he wants to do literally follows key in step with the California communist agenda, including the full-blown socialist agenda, giving people more money, making Florida a sanctuary state for immigration, taking away all of our firearms. I mean, we've already taken a huge blow with idiot Rick Scott this year. Now they want to take even more if Gillum gets in office, and the whole host goes on. It's funny because nobody's talking about the aspect of, like, 2 or 3 years ago, he came out discussing if Florida basically ran into a cash flow crunch, that we need to start implementing state tax, like California has done too, Florida state tax. This is what these guys do. Once they run out of money from taking it from enough people, they just make another tax, and they make another tax, and then they raise this tax, and they raise that tax. It's so easy to watch and see what it's been done. Yet so many people are so blinded to it because essentially so many people are so doggone lazy nowadays. They just don't want to work. They'd rather rely on the government to change their diapers and heat their bottle for them every morning. And it's a joke. It's an absolute joke. But in my opinion, I really think in 2 weeks, I think we're really going to run the table again. I think we're going to pull really strong to the right, and I think we're going to get a lot of really good Republicans that are really good constitutional-minded back in power. That's at least my opinion on it, because a lot of people are really seeing how hardcore communist the Democratic Party is really starting to turn. Also, too, in other news, as you guys know, ADHD as itself is a fictitious disease. I've talked about this repeatedly. I've had people argue with me on this, but all you have to do is look up the father of ADHD, the man that actually invented ADHD, Leon Eisenberg, who made the shocking admission in his last interview before his death that it was a completely made-up ailment. Now, people can have issues like hyperactivity problems from a poor diet, from lack of nutrients, from food coloring, from too much sugar, especially in children. But the overall aspect of ADHD being classified in the DSM-4 and 5 as something that's a disease is a complete and total fallacy, and it's led to tens of millions of children to be heavily medicated with mind-altering drugs with literally no justifiable reason. ADHD is a fraud intended to justify starting children on a life of drug addiction and dependency. That's very, very true. Where there is no drug to profit from, create a new drug, which is pretty much the pharmaceutical model. Where there's no disease to profit from, create a new disease. It's hardly surprising to hear that an astonishing 70% of the panel members of the DSM-5 reported having direct financial relationships with pharmaceutical companies. The DSM-5 is basically the statistical manual for psychiatric problems. And pretty much any type of mental disorder you can possibly come up with, it's in the DSM-5, which is the fifth edition. These guys put together pretty much every disease known to man, and they put it in this book. And it's what psychiatrists and psychologists use on an ongoing basis to determine what disease somebody has, what mental illness somebody has, and also, too, what type of drugs will be effective for them. As I just said a second ago, 70% of the panel members of the DSM-5 reported having direct financial relationships with pharmaceutical companies. So that being said, doesn't it make sense that they would continue the fallacy of ADHD? It's funny, after, you know, the individual that essentially came up with this, you know, Leon Eisenberg, it didn't make mainstream media. They didn't say we're going to take it out of the DSM-5. Now, they didn't do that. Why? Because that would literally negate the millions upon millions of children that are on ADHD medication now. And they would say, oh, it doesn't exist. We're not going to take it. Well, one thing that's crazy now is a new study was just released that higher levels of urinary fluoride during pregnancy are also associated with hyperactive ADHD-like symptoms. And I said like symptoms because, like I said, ADHD is not a real thing. Hyperactivity can be a problem. Mental clarity and focus can very well be a problem, but the actual ADHD disease doesn't exist. They found that urinary fluoride during pregnancy associated with more hyperactive ADHD-like symptoms in school-aged children, according to the University of Toronto and York University research. They said our findings are consistent with a growing body of evidence suggesting that growing fetal nervous system may be negatively affected by higher levels of fluoride exposure. The study, prenatal fluoride exposure and ADHD symptoms in children at 6 to 12 years of age in Mexico City, was published today in Environmental International. Analyzed data from 213 mother-child pairs, which recruited women from 94 to 2005 and has continued to follow them and their children ever since. The research team analyzed urine samples that had been obtained from mothers during pregnancy and from their children through 6 and 12 years of age to reconstruct personal measures of fluoride exposure to both mother and child. The researchers then analyzed how levels of fluoride in urine related to the child's performance on a variety of tests and questionnaires that measured inattention and hyperactivity and provided overall scores. They said our findings show that children with elevated prenatal exposure to fluoride were much more likely to show symptoms of hyperactivity and inattention. Prenatal fluoride exposure was strongly associated with inattentive behavior and cognitive problems. So this is something that we've warned about for literally decades now, on the dangers of fluoride, why not to drink fluoride, why not to use toothpaste with fluoride, why not use anything with fluoride in it. Fluoride's a neurotoxin, said and done. There's no question about it whatsoever. And the fact that it's still used in our food supply and our toothpaste and it's still added to water, all under the lie that it strengthens your teeth, is a total joke to me. And I'm really surprised that most cities have not been able to get this out. Oh, but make sure it continues to push the pharmaceutical industrial model of making people sicker, pushing more drugs on more people, and continuing the profit cycle over and over and over again, Dad. So I just want to kind of add that on there. As I saw that article today, and I thought it was really interesting because it never seems to stop the levels of negative effects fluoride has on the human population.
Well, if fluorine gas is sarin nerve gas, I mean, this is some really, really wicked bad stuff. I mean, the active ingredient in Prozac is fluorine, Lexamine, I think it's called. I mean, this is some poison. This is concentration camp. This is MK Ultra. This is like Gestapo and human experimentation that found out what this stuff does to humans in small quantities. And it's really bad. And it doesn't surprise me whatsoever that fluoride levels in a mother's blood during pregnancy will affect the development of the child. Here's why. They've already proven repeatedly now that, one of the top medical journals in the country, I think the Journal of the American Medical Association, said that they've learned now through Harvard that if a child is given fluoride in its water, as formula, or to be drinking fluoride, it drops the IQ score. Now, this is just what they've done. They've done this now since the 1940s. Since, I remember, 1945, they went to Dachau, found that they were using fluoride to keep people people sedated and infertile. In 1946, they started putting it in the United States. And again, that one movie that was done, you know, but the Stanley Kubrick did, you know, with the World War III starting with, you know, with Slim Pickens. You know, it's just that was all about the putting fluoride into the water supply. So it's one of those things that we have to just understand. It's bad. I mean, I've done seminars all over the country, Austin, and one of the biggest hot buttons back in the 90s and the 80s was the use of drugs with kids who have ADD and ADHD. At that point, it was very difficult to talk about the use of immunizations because that was such a hot button that you basically never got asked back on the show or on the platform again if you talked about that. But the hot button that you could talk about that got people really, really mad was the use of a Schedule II drug like Ritalin or Adderall in the same category with morphine, opium, Percodan, Demerol, all of that kind of stuff. I mean, you've got a product that's so strong that it's a Schedule II, which means like a heroin's a Schedule I and you can't use it. So legally get caught when you go to jail. This is Schedule II, as strong as it gets because it's super, super addictive. And I wrote a book on it. I finally wrote a book on it, I think, 2001, 2002. It's available online. It's a pretty good seller. It's called Maximum Solutions to ADD, Autism, and Learning Disability in Children. You can get that for probably a penny if you want to order one. A lot of the information is outdated, but a lot of it's still really good. And the statistics are still really good. And I basically said in the book, I said, look, before you put a child on a Schedule II drug in the same category of morphine, Percodan, Demerol, or whatever, try a diet change. Get them off the blue dyes and the red dyes and the fluoride. See what happens. And, you know, a lot of people responded to that. In fact, in our Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program, we had an entire report in there on ADD and ADHD and what you could do as far as supplementation, and it's still available on the website. But the crazy thing, Austin, is that parents don't think through it. They'll have a school nurse say your child has ADD. Well, no, your child may have fluoride toxicity. Your child may have mercury toxicity from immunizations. Your child may have aluminum toxicity from immunizations. Your child may be getting too many blue dyes and red dyes and it's causing them to be hyper. Your child may have hypoglycemia because of all the high fructose corn syrup they're eating. Something's causing this and you gotta try to figure out what the cause is, but it's easier to put them on a drug that basically covers up the symptoms and it allows you basically not to have to deal with trying to change their diet or to feed them right. That's the biggest problem that people have, Austin, is they don't want to stop for a moment, think about what they're doing, and try to feed the kids correctly. All they want to do is just turn around and give that child a drug or a pill to try to correct the symptom. That always creates problems in the long term because it's not correcting the condition. The condition of red dyes and blue dyes may be treated by giving them a drug, but the condition of the allergies to the red dye and the blue dye is still there. You're not correcting the cause, you're treating the symptom. It's like taking an aspirin for a headache. Why do you have a headache? Something else is going on. You know, you could have a brain tumor, for heaven's sake. You could have hypoglycemia. You could have elevated blood sugar. You could have hit your head on something. There are all kinds of reasons. You could have high blood pressure that could cause headaches. You need to try to find out what's causing the headaches. You have an allergy of shellfish that you're eating is causing headaches. I've seen that before, too. All kinds of things can cause problems like that that, again, aren't being treated. They're not being cured. They're being treated by the use of drugs. By the way, here's an interesting article. AI, artificial intelligence, listen to this, can actually analyze changes in the Earth's magnetic field to predict quakes, which is unprecedentedly early. Earthquakes and tsunamis are accompanied by changes in geomagnetic field, and the new AI can analyze tiny changes in this geomagnetic field structure. It allows the system to predict natural disaster far earlier than current models. Now, I'm going to go a little bit on a limb here and say, you give AI control of the military, you give AI control of the HAARP, you give AI control of the technology that's used to create earthquakes and to steer hurricanes, AI is going to do whatever AI wants to do. Think about that for a second. Once you turn over control of the planet to an artificial intelligence, an evil artificial intelligence through a D-Wave computer, it'll be just like the Cyberdyne in the Terminator movies, Austin. It'll do whatever it wants to do, and there won't be any way to turn it off because it'll be embedded into the system. This is the problem. AI is one of the single biggest problems that we have headed towards us that a lot of people are simply ignoring and not paying attention to. Guys, I want you to know I love you. I appreciate you, too. Thanks for listening. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us and supporting Health Masters. Thanks for being there for us. Thanks for listening to the show every day. You guys are our friends. You guys are the Brower Brigade, like Ann likes to say. Let's pray this week for these elections. I love you guys, and I appreciate you so much. Austin, go ahead. You got the write-up. You go ahead and finish the show, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Thank you guys for all the support and all the emails we continue to get. And thank you for the positive email, or not the email, the order comments. You guys know when you place an order with us, you can leave a comment on them, and we try to do our best to respond to them as quickly and as appropriately, obviously, as possible. They're mainly there for people that want to make a comment on something or make a remark. So we try to respond back to those. Anybody that, if you've noticed, you've done this and you write, you know, basically four or five paragraphs on there, we're pretty much not going to answer 30 different questions on the order forms. A, it's public. The entire staff sees what's going on there, just to let you guys know that. And B, it's something that we don't have time to write down pages and pages of questions and notes on every single order that's going out. So thank you, though, for the positive feedback I've gotten on those and all the positive comments. And just thank you. It's always nice to read those, especially as we're getting orders together, and to know everybody appreciates and is really doing good. You know, I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from people saying how much they like the magnesium brain food or how well the fit food tastes. Lots of different stuff that they really like, and it's always nice. And anytime, too, you know, a critique that you would like to see, whether it be a product change slightly or a size of something or a flavor of something or something in shipping, let us know. The order comments are there for that as well. We like, you know, positive critique to where we can kind of change something. And if it's something that we see from multiple orders that's across the board, you know, a lot of times we will adapt to make sure we're doing everything we can to keep our customers happy. So thank you for the feedback on that, guys. Be sure to check us out on Instagram if you have Instagram. We've pushed away a lot from Facebook. We still use it some. Facebook's becoming so strongly censored. You know, we put a couple things up about HGH-stimulate and Fit Food. They were immediately put down. They said you can't say anything about HGH-stimulate and banned it immediately, which is actually quite ridiculous. And then we did it again later on, and they let it stay up. And then we did another one, and they banned it. Facebook, I'm just about had enough of them. Instagram, I know, is owned by Facebook. However, the moderators and the handle of Instagram seem to be much more simplistic and don't try to rule with an iron fist on what you post. They pretty much let us post whatever we want. And so there's a on a storyline, there's Hunter making a sweet potatoes from the Healthy Country Cooking Cookbook, or from the Eat Clean and Be Healthy Cookbook, excuse me, on Instagram right now. So be sure to check that out. He was having a ball with that today. Lana sent it to me earlier. But thank you guys for everything you do. We appreciate you. Check out the Muscle Blast Product of the Week on the website at healthmasters.com. Last day on sale for Product of the Week. And be sure to check out the other products on Product of the Week and vote for what you want to win. And that'll be changing over tomorrow, whatever wins. So today will be the last day to get the BCAA formula, the Muscle Blast, on sale for 10% off. We love you guys. We appreciate you. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.